Right here, this word, chuchat. Let me double click on that. Prescribed, something prescribed, appointed, customs, due, fixed order, fixed patterns, ordinances, statutes, statutory. I really like that word, something prescribed. We get sick, we go to the doctor, we get a prescription, and most of us take it, right? We go take the prescription because it was prescribed for our health. The same is with the Torah. It's a prescription for our health, a way in which to walk, and a way in which to go. This parsha of the red heifer is a picture of Yeshua, Mashiach, the Messiah. Chuk, this word chuk, which means ordinance, statutes, or something prescribed, occurs in sequences with other words for law. We have devarim, which is words. We have Torah, which is teaching. We have mishpat, which is judgments. We have edut, which is the testimonies. Probably one of the most powerful things that's in our Torah is the testimonies of the Torah of God. And the mitzvah, the commandment. This parsha contains the red heifer, waters of purification, the rock that water came out of, water of life, and the bronze serpent, faith, a picture of faith. There's three things in this parsha that kind of tie together. And it's very interesting to look at. This red heifer, now, he gives them an instruction to find this red heifer. It cannot have one different colored hair. They inspect it very thoroughly. This is a picture of the Mashiach inspecting us and looking us over. The beginning of this portion defines our human ability to rationalize. Thus it is called a strange ritual. However, we are still commanded to accept it as it really isn't ours to fully comprehend. Or we would be as God. Clearly the purpose of the instruction of the red heifer was to purify those who had come in contact with the dead. This was to reconcile man back to God. Unlike most other sin offerings, the red heifer was not male, but female. A message in this metaphor might be, would the female sacrifice suggest that the ritual is life-giving? Through women, we are born and gain mortal life. Through Mashiach, we become spiritually reborn and gain eternal life. Yeshua taught the Jews this principle when he said, I am come that they might have life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. John 10:11.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep.
Numbers 19:1 through 19:9 of the instructions of the red heifer.
Now the Lord spoke to Moshe and Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord has commanded, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring you a red heifer without blemish, in which there is no defect, and on which a yoke has never come. You shall give it to Eleazar the priest, that he may take it outside the camp, and it shall be slaughtered before him. And Eleazar the priest shall take some of its blood with its finger and sprinkle some of its blood seven times directly in front of the tabernacle of meeting. Then the heifer shall be burned in his sight. Its hide, its flesh, its blood, and its offal shall be burned. And the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast them into the midst of the fire, burning the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. He shall bathe in water, and afterward he shall come into the camp. The priest shall be unclean until evening. And the one who burns it shall wash his clothes in water, bathe in water, and shall be unclean until evening. Then a man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and store them outside the camp in a clean place. And they shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel for the water of purification, and it is for purifying from sin.
The ashes of this red heifer were divided into three parts. One part was stored on the Mount of Olives for future use, either to purify the Kohen performing the service in the future or to mix with the ashes of a future red heifer. Another part was divided among the 24 divisions of Kohanim for use in purifying people. And the third part was kept in the Cha'il, an area next to the wall of the courtyard for safekeeping. It's just interesting to me, this Abba's, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob tells his people to do this certain thing in the land. They never disputed it. They just did it. You know, they didn't question it. They just did it. And this is the heart he's looking for. I think this is why my take on it is not always right, but I believe the red heifer was an example. As it says in Corinthians, these things were all examples for us. The red heifer is peculiar as this is. It speaks into the future, when coming to the Messiah. Why wasn't it a black heifer? Why wasn't it a white heifer? Why was it a red heifer? I think it's because it's symbolic of the blood of Yeshua. Then they had to go through and they look at all the hair, the color, make sure that it was completely without blemish. Another picture of Yeshua. And then it gets burnt. It's sacrificed, a picture of Yeshua, sacrificed. And then it's added to water for purification. And this is Yeshua again. This is why so much in the Orthodox realm, they don't know what this command of the red heifer is about. But when you come into Mashiach Yeshua, you start to see the similarities of the red heifer. He was without blemish. The slaughtering, the blood, how it is burned, and the bathing of the priests. In Numbers 19, 9 through 10, we're given also another clue. A man who is clean shall gather up the ashes of the heifer and put them in a ceremonial clean place outside the camp. They shall be kept by the Israelite community for the use in the water of cleansing. It is for purification from sin. Today, this is what Yeshua does for us. He came and did away with the laws of sin and death. Took it upon himself so that we could walk freely as reborn people. Reborn with energy to return back to God and his ways, to have a place to go with our pure, unblemished love for him. That's what's so beautiful about the Torah, is it gives us a place to go with our love for him. It gives us a place to come together. There's not many of us. There's not very many. Isaiah 12:3.
Therefore, with joy, you will draw water from the wells of salvation.
Therefore, with joy, you shall draw water from the springs of salvation, from the wells of salvation. John 4:14.
But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life.
This is very interesting. The more I read these verses and the more I look at the Torah and the more this stuff starts explaining itself, it's just phenomenal to me how it's tied together. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water, John 7:38. The rites of the red heifer make the impure pure. It purifies. But the water is for cleansing, the purification of sin. Yeshua is this water. He stepped into the water, Matthew 3:13 through 17.
Then Yeshua came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you are coming to me? But Yeshua answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Yeshua came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased."
He calmed the water. Mark 4, 35 through 41.
On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?"
Amen. And he is the living water, John 7, 37 through 39.
On the last day, that great day of the feast, Yeshua stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." With this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom the believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified.
He walked on the water. I skipped one, I'm sorry. Matthew 14, 22 through 33.
Immediately Yeshua made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Yeshua went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost," and they cried out for fear. But immediately Yeshua spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Kepha answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Yeshua. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Yeshua stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Then those who were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God."
Amen. Ezekiel 36, 22 through 27.
"Therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went. And I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them."
That's some beautiful words. Justification of faith. I will sprinkle clean water on you. And this is Yeshua. Because he's talking in the future. He's gathering the lost tribes of the house of Israel. These verses all reflect water in a spiritual format, pointing towards Yeshua and what he does to us. What is the one thing that we die from first if we're cut off from sustenance? You can go a long time without food, but you can't go very long without water. And water is very important for the body to grow and to flush itself and to clean itself. For the drinking, what do they say when you get sick? Drink lots of water, huh? Yeah. Because what is that doing? It's flushing out your system. This is what Yeshua does. He makes things manifest and he flushes out our system. And it's really good to look at him as a cleaning water. Because this is what Yeshua is doing to a lot of people today. He's purging, and washing and cleaning. Yeshua became the red heifer to remove the laws of sin and death. In John 1:29, Yohanan, a Matbil, the immerser, calls Yeshua the Lamb of God. John 1:29.
The next day, John saw Yeshua coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
The red heifer was for the sins of the community. 1 John 1:9 reiterates this.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
To purify us from all unrighteousness. This parasha continues with the water from the rock. Numbers 20:1-13.
Then the children of Israel, the whole congregation, came into the wilderness of Zin in the first month, and the people stayed at Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there. Now there was no water for the congregation, so they gathered together against Moshe and Aaron. And the people contended with Moshe and spoke, saying, "If only we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Why have you brought up the assembly of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our animals should die here? And why have you made us come up out of Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain or figs or vines or pomegranates, nor is there any water to drink." So Moshe and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the door of the tabernacle of meeting, and they fell on their faces. And the glory of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord spoke to Moshe, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moshe took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moshe and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moshe lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moshe and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them." This was the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel contended with the Lord, and he was hallowed among them.
He was to speak to the rock. Psalms 18:2.
The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield, and the horde of my salvation, my stronghold.
Amen. Takase. Psalm 78:35.
Then they remembered that God was their rock, and the Most High God their Redeemer.
Isaiah 44:8.
"Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you that from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one."
And the water of life. Psalm 4:14.
"But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water, springing up into everlasting life."
Now this is really interesting where we're going to go with this today. I was really surprised. Abba showed me here with this. He's talking about giving them something to drink. Giving them something to drink. Keep this in mind. Yeshua's going to give them something to drink. Not by not connecting the red heifer to the Brit Chadashah, the renewed covenant, so much is misunderstood and lost. By not connecting the renewed covenant to the red heifer, so much is misunderstood and lost. Colossians 2:17.
"We are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Mashiach."
The substance is of Mashiach. Hebrews 10:1-4.
"For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with these same sacrifices, which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect."
Amen.
For then would they have not have ceased to be offered? For the worshippers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins.
This way he sent his son. Psalms 91:1.
He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. That's a powerful verse. In Hebrews, it talked about this, a shadow of things to come, and that we do not gain our salvation through keeping the Torah. This is very, very true. The Torah, observing the Torah to the best of our ability does not bring us salvation. Believing in the one he sent and obeying him is where our salvation lies. As I've said before many times over, I can't say it enough. Faith brings the birthright. Obedience brings the blessings. Psalms 91:9, we did this, okay? It is impossible to fully understand the depth of Messiah if one does not know the total of Elohim's word. We would wonder, why is Yeshua water? What's the big deal about the rock or stone? What is the red heifer? Adonai has made his salvation known. Psalms 98:2.
The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations.
1 Corinthians 10:1 through 4.
Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moshe in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Mashiach.
Amen. So you get a lot of your answers to the Old Testament in the Brit Chadashah, in the Renewed Covenant. As I've said before, I talked with a man from another synagogue one time, and he said that they believed in their synagogue that everyone was open to their own interpretation of the word. And I said, well, I was taught by a rabbi that Scripture interprets Scripture. And Scripture always does interpret Scripture. Numbers 19, 11-12.
He who touches the dead body of anyone shall be unclean 7 days. He shall purify himself with the water on the 3rd day and on the 7th day. Then he will be clean. But if he does not purify himself on the 3rd day and on the 7th day, he will not be clean.
It's the 3rd day. He rose on the 3rd day. John, he also, in John 2, 1 through 10.
On the 3rd day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee.
I'm going to stop right there now. This is very interesting. He'd just been baptized. On the 3rd day, he's following Torah, see? Numbers 19, 11, 12. On the 3rd day, go ahead.
There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Yeshua was there. Now both Yeshua and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And when they ran out of wine, the mother of Yeshua said to him, they have no wine. Yeshua said to her, woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. Now there was set there 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. Yeshua said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw out some now, and take it to the master of the feast. And they took it. When the master of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and did not know where it had come from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom, and he said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. You have kept the good wine until now.
You see what he just did? He purified that whole wedding party. Everybody that drank some of that wine got purified. He provided a drink for him. He did more at that moment than just provide wine. These were the stone jars for the purification. These were the six stone water pots. Big guys. And he turned them all into wine and had the people drink it. Purification went on that day. A big purification. It's symbolic of us coming in as the bride of Messiah, being purified by his water of life. 1 Corinthians 11:25.
In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
It is symbolic of him in us. This is what this is a symbolism of. You know, a lot of us, we irrigate. I know several of us in here irrigate, and people water their yards. Everybody does a little watering, whether it's just one plant. But that water does what? Brings life, brings growth, brings fruit. Causes the plant to bear fruit. And this is what the water of life is to us. God is so brilliant in his creation that he lines up the very thing that waters this planet. You know the water that's on this planet right now, this is the same water that was there back in Yeshua's time. It never got changed. This is the same H2O. It's the same water. It didn't go anywhere. No more was made and no less was taken away. It's the same water. Goes to the mountains, snow, melts, runs to the ocean, evaporates, turns to clouds, go back to the mountains, rain, snow, cycle. We got a cycle going on here. God's many cycles, his yearly cycle, his monthly cycle, weekly cycle, and the cycle of water. And as we look at those snowflakes and the frozen water and the snowflakes, every one of them is a little Magen David, Shield of David. If you ever look at them, they're all six-sided. Always. Snowflakes are always six-sided. It's bizarre. Water follows him. His scriptures speak that the ocean knows its command to not cross over the sand. It knows its command. Once in a while there's a storm, a hurricane, and it crosses the sand and mucks out houses. But there's damage. Same with us. Sometimes we have a storm and we cause damage. And this is very interesting because the water is very, very important. But I don't want to ever not have any. Because that's not good. Water, staying hydrated is very important. I was explained by a doctor one time that when you're hydrated, your blood cells, red blood cells, have a lining, outside lining on each cell. When you get dehydrated, that disappears and they start sticking together. The red blood cells start sticking. These can form clots. That's why as we get older, we don't like to taste so much water. We lose a taste for water. It's harder to drink it sometimes. But we have to, or we get blood clots. Acts 2:38.
Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKodesh."
He's telling his people, always mikvah. That's why around the Temple Mount they had so many mikvah pools. Because people wanted to have complete immersion in their soul before they went up to the Temple Mount. They wanted to mikvah. They took it serious. They were real serious about it. And they were mikvah. There was always a mikvah. Every time a man made a mistake or a woman makes a mistake, they would mikvah. They would go in the water. It wasn't a one-time thing. Nowhere in the word did it say you just do it one time. Because we can do it over and over and over and over. Because we mess up over and over and over and over. So he wants us to be purged. He wants us to get in the habit of keeping ourself lined up with the status that we are to carry. He's so merciful. He gives us a way and an area to go. You know? You get real frustrated with something, go get in the water. It'll help. It'll change your attitude. It does. Numbers 21, 4 through 9.
Then they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moshe. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and many of the people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moshe and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpents from us." So Moshe prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moshe, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, shall live." So Moshe made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived.
Right beside those set of verses, you can write John 3, 1 through 21. Because many people have asked in the past, you know, what's with the snake on the stick? It's kind of confounding. I thought the snake was evil. But we get the answers in John 3, 1 through 21.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Yehudim. This man came to Yeshua by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from Elohim, for no one can do these things that you do unless God is with him." Yeshua answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Yeshua answered, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Yeshua answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and do you not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moshe lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in Elohim."
That they have been done in God. Abba, in the name of Yeshua, your word has come true. You have delivered more signs for the people to look at, to see. In many forms have you shown your salvation. We praise you, Father, for giving us this eternal life, this life, this water of life, this Yeshua. Help us to drink it wisely. Abba, thank you In Yeshua's name, amen. When we look at these things in the Torah, always remember, if you have a question about it, go into your Brit Chadashah and look in there. Because many times there's where the answer lies. And many times if there's a question in the Brit Chadashah, you go to the Torah, to a relative portion, and it'll explain it. The Scripture interprets Scripture. Marukat Adonai Elohenu Melech HaOlam, Asher Natan Lanu Horat Emet, V'Cheyanu LaOlam Nata B'Tcheinu, Marukat Adonai Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, Sovereign of the Universe, who has given us the Torah of truth, implanting within us eternal life. Blessed are you, Adonai, who gives the Torah. In Yeshua's name. Barukat Adonai. Blessed is Adonai, who is blessed now and forever.